We are joined again on the green by contributor Larry Nagengast, this time giving us an update on the Reach Riverside project in Wilmington. Larry, thanks for being with us on the green again this week.
Glad to be here, Tom.
So let's refresh people's memories about the Riverside project. Can you give us a quick thumbnail sketch of what the project's all about? What's the overall game plan here?
Okay. Well, the overall game plan calls for a massive transformation of what's really a long-neglected, low-income neighborhood, majority black, in the northeast corner of Wilmington. Riverside was built at the end of World War II, primarily to provide affordable housing for veterans returning from combat. Now, over time, the GI Bill, which was passed several years after the end of the war, it helped mainly white veterans buy their own homes, usually out in the suburbs, and over time, Riverside became a subsidized housing unit managed by the Wilmington Housing Authority, and its demographic became primarily black and low income. Many would describe Riverside as a product of systemic racism. Now, for example, 70% of the children in Riverside live in poverty, and that's nearly triple the state average. 41% of the adults lack a high school diploma. 87% of the households are led by single women. Now, the plan is to change that dynamic, that demographic, through improved housing and a support system that is quite strong. Reach Riverside, which is the redevelopment organization overseeing the project, has allied itself with Purpose Built Communities, which is a nonprofit based in Atlanta, Georgia, that has a solid record of overseeing transformations like this one. New housing, nearly 600 units or so, some of them subsidized, some of them to be rented at market rates, will be the major piece. But the $250 million plan, which will probably take 10 years or so to execute, includes making the business corridor along Northeast Boulevard on the edge of Riverside more in alignment with the needs of the community's residents. That means a grocery store and more retail rather than a lot of auto body shops. And it also includes providing services essential to uplifting a community. Things like healthcare, financial counseling, job training, social services, all of these located in facilities within the community so they're easy for residents to access.
So you've been following this since day one. How is the project's timeline holding up? You talked about it taking a decade. That's a long timeline. Where are things at right now with the first couple of phases?
Well, it seems like I've been saying this every time I'm talking with you, Tom, no matter what the subject, but it's no surprise that the pandemic slowed things down. Back in 2018, when the master plan was unveiled, the target date for starting construction was 2020. Early 2020, that is. But the pandemic, coupled with the typical delays in nailing down financing for such a large project, meant that construction of the first phase of the redevelopment, 74 units, didn't start until last December. Most of the exterior work on those units has been completed, and the contractors are now working inside on electrical, heating, insulation, ventilation systems, and so on. And those first apartments should be ready for occupancy in late winter or early spring. Meanwhile, work on the second phase, 67 more apartment units, will start in December and should be finished by the end of next year. In short, we've got a late start, but no further delays, and they're making steady progress.
The big news this week is a little more than $26 million in federal COVID relief funds are being poured into this project. How much will that boost, change the trajectory of this project?
Yeah. Well, as I said, financing projects like this is a very complex operation with funding from government sources, banks, foundations, and other sources of loans. Now, a big piece of this funding is derived from tax credits that are awarded for building low and moderate income housing, but it takes a lot of time for these credits to be approved. What's happening here is that this $26 million in COVID relief funds will enable Reach Riverside to start work on the next three phases of the project, another 200 units or so, without having to wait for the tax credits to be approved. And as I understand it, those tax credits can be used for later phases of the project anyhow. In any case, the work that would be covered and benefit from the relief funds will start at the end of next last year, the end of 2022, and instead of building 65 to 75 units one phase at a time, stretched over maybe 3 years, they're going to be able to build instead about 100 units a year and having 200 or so units ready for occupancy then by the end of 2024.
And as these units are made ready, explain to us again how they're going to be made available to those who will wind up occupying them.
Okay, well, first priority will go to current residents of the Wilmington Housing Authority units in Riverside. Now, in the next month or so, Penrose Incorporated, which is the project manager, will be sending information to eligible WHA residents on how to apply for the units. WHA residents eligible for subsidized housing will pay rents on the same basis that they do now, adjusted according to their income, their family size, and the size of their housing unit. Let me mention here that, the old Riverside housing is going to be torn down to make way for the new homes. So what's going to happen here is that the first residents who will be moved into the new Riverside will most likely be coming from the first of the older units that are scheduled for demolition. Now, not all of the units in the new Riverside will be subsidized public housing style. Some of them are going to be available at market rates, and that will be roughly $800 a month for a one-bedroom unit, $900 for two bedrooms, and $1,000 a month for three. The goal here is to create a mixed-use community with residents from a variety of income levels. Ryan Bailey, Penrose's project manager, says that this can be a tough sell at first, convincing folks that it's a good deal to move into new homes in what used to be a public housing neighborhood. But Penrose, and purpose-built communities as well, have had success with this approach in other cities, and they're confident that prospective residents will be pleased when they see the quality of the housing and the other changes that are going to be taking place in the neighborhood in the next couple of years.
Of course, housing is not the only piece of Reach Riverside, as you've mentioned. A new Kingswood Community Center is also in the works. What is the status of that part of the project?
Well, again, the Kingswood Community Center has been the centerpiece of the Riverside neighborhood for about 75 years. It's home to a senior center and a child care service. It's a space for recreation, community meetings, social services, and much more. But it's crowded and it's outdated. Plans call for a new $41 million building covering some 70,000 square feet, and it would be built just to the northeast of the current building on Bowers Street. It would double the size of the child care program, and it would have room for an expanded Christiana Care health clinic and lots of other community services, not to mention a larger gym and more meeting rooms. Logan Herring, who is the CEO of both Reach Riverside and Kingswood, says that they've already raised $11 million, and a public-facing campaign to raise the rest of the money, another $30 million, is just getting started. Herring would like to see construction begin in the spring of 2023, and it's probably maybe a two-year project or so for the whole thing to be built.
There's also a business / I guess economic development piece to this. What can you tell us about where that stands and where that's going?
Well, again, the business component is something that's called RESTORE, which is an acronym for Real Estate Strategy to Obtain Racial Equity. The Wells Fargo Bank Regional Foundation has already kicked in $500,000 to get this initiative started. The idea is to build up a fund that will be large enough for Reach Riverside to go out and buy vacant and dilapidated properties, again, primarily along Northeast Boulevard, and then work with builders and developers to put up shops and other service businesses that would serve the day-to-day needs of Riverside residents. One of the top priorities would be a grocery store, since many Riverside residents do rely on public transportation, and the closest supermarket is nearly 2 miles away.
And Larry, we've also seen Reach Riverside step up to help with more immediate issues that aren't necessarily part of the proposed timeline and project. We saw it during COVID, and now with the fallout from the flooding caused by the remnants of Hurricane Ida. What are they doing to assist the flooding victims at this point?
Yeah. Well, as you indicated, last year during the pandemic, Reach Riverside raised some money so they could partner with TD Bank to issue debit cards to the WHA Riverside residents up to $750 per household to help them buy essential items for about 3 months while they were out of work or experiencing a loss of income. Now they're gearing up to help a different group. The residents of that area, it's actually just outside Riverside, but along Vandiver Avenue and East 12th Street. It's a neighborhood sometimes referred to as the 11th Street Bridge Colony. And those homes were swamped when the Brandywine overflowed its banks during Hurricane Ida last month. Now, Reach Riverside has already raised more than $700,000, which is a considerable amount of money to be raising in a short time. And they hope to distribute as much as $2,500 to each of 200 to 300 households in the form of rechargeable $250 debit cards. The plans of this are still being fleshed out, but it should be pretty soon before some of that money starts flowing into the neighborhood to help those residents rebuild.
All right, let's pull back out again now and talk big picture. When we talk about big projects like this one, we often look at the question of, you know, can they build, then maintain momentum? Has Reach Riverside proven itself capable of that? Is it well on its way to reaching its lofty goals?
The cautious answer, and I like to be cautious, I see no reason why Reach Riverside can't maintain the momentum, but we're really going to know much better in a year or so after residents move into the first two sections of the new housing and the work begins on the subsequent sections and the fund drive for the new Kingswood is further along. But you have to admit, it's been a major lift to accomplish what has been put in motion thus far, especially when you take the pandemic into consideration. And we haven't even mentioned the warehouse, the community center for teenagers, that finally opened this year after a year of those pandemic-related delays. And the warehouse was considered the first big piece of overall community redevelopment for the area. So the progress thus far would seem to justify the optimism, especially how you can when you consider how the project has been able to plow through all of these obstacles in the last 18 months. But even so, I think Logan Herring would probably be the first to say that you really can't talk about success until you see the first Riverside residents moving into their new homes.
All right, Nagus, as always, we appreciate your time. We appreciate your reporting. Thanks for being with us.
Quite welcome, Tom.